the curse of God. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Galatians 3 and verse 13. The ultimate of all evil is the curse of God. When God blesses, one in sorrow finds joy, one in pain finds ease, and one who is burdened finds their burdens bearable. Death becomes most welcome. But who can tell what horrors may be wrapped up in God's wrath? Better not to have been born than to have to experience that. We must remember at the outset that man's act in crucifying another may not be the curse of God. The Romans crucified many victims innocent of heinous crime. That is what they did to those who resisted Rome's iron rule of law. Many saints of God have been crucified too, simply to show man's hatred of him whom they loved. This verse is not a general statement of all who have hung upon a cross. It is a prophetic word. It is the fulfillment of a prophetic word, relating only to God's own beloved Son, who, for us men and our salvation, bore our sins, the guilt of his people's sins. Every sin of theirs is transferred to him and put to his account, as though he himself had committed these innumerable number of sins. Their curse was to be borne by him. He came to be a substitute for his people, that they may be pardoned and set free. Shall we look first of all at the essence of the curse? The bearing of the curse of God is the very essence of salvation's scheme. In it, in the bearing of this curse, is the vastness of God's grace and the Redeemer's love. We have already seen a picture of the cross in the lifted up serpent, Numbers 21 and verse 8. Here we have that truth made plain. Made plain in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23, where hanging is named. He that is hanged is accursed of God. This foretells the cross of our Savior. When he was to appear in the fullness of time, he was to expire on a cross. No man can invent such foretelling, and a Savior must be crucified, or else the curse is not taken away. As we of these later days know, that is now recognized history. The Lord Jesus has suffered in that way, lifted up as an accursed spectacle to God, to angels, and to men. To bring this about, Israel must needs lose their supremacy of power, and with that, the right to put anyone to death. Their judicial power must needs be taken away. For this inhuman death was not a Jewish death. If they had retained their right to rule over themselves in their own country, then Jesus would have been stoned to death by them. Thus the scepter of rule had to pass into Gentile hands, and Roman law prevailed. It is Pilate, the Roman governor's sentence, who delivers him up to this Roman death. For Rome had conquered and subdued Israel at this time, so that the prophetic word would be fulfilled. It is God's scheme, his scheme from before the foundation of the world. Now we look, having seen something of the essence of the cross, look at the reason for the cross. Why such an awful fact as the curse of God? Since God is love, what kindles such a fierce flame as this in the heart of God? If men had loved their God who made them, if his rule of law had governed them, then there could have been no such thing as the curse of God. But man, by Satan's wiles, became a rebel in the earth. The fountainhead of the human race was poisoned. Let us hold up God's word before our own eyes and examine ourselves in the light of it. We are a sinful, polluted, rebellious people, and it is written clear and plain, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians 3 and verse 10. That is clear and plain. It is as solemn as it is plain. The whole law of God was summed up by our Lord in two commandments: love God and love man. This exercise of love was to be in every movement of the heart. All our thoughts were to be in love to God and in love to man. All our words were to sound out in love to God and love to man. All our works were to be done in love to God and love to man. It was one law for all. But one single failure, and the law is broken, and the curse falls. The hand of the curse of God falls upon every sinful man, and who can escape? The curse of God is what all of us deserve. There can be no excuse as to why we transgress. The solemn fact is that we all have done so, and therefore all are to be cursed of God. No human penitence can change that. We have failed to love God and to love man. That failure has linked us to the curse. Now, one more thing, and this is the gospel. It is the escape from the curse. The Lord Jesus Christ is our substituted curse, the substituted curse for his people. His redemption is sufficient to save all men, and all men may come to him. His invitation is open to all, but he is only a substitute for those who come. He became the curse of God on Calvary's cross. God's righteous vengeance upon all sin fell upon him. He bears all the anguish which would have been borne by his people's doom. He absorbed all their deserved penalties and punishment. There was no pity, no mitigation because of who he was. It was the total curse, the dreadful curse of God. We who believe point to him, and the plea is valid and prevailing. We cannot suffer what our surety has already borne for us. So we cling to Jesus. We clasp the meaning of his cross. We drink from the fountain of peace which flows from that accursed tree. Unless he had come and done this, then the curse of God would have been upon us forever and forever. Now hear the words of Samuel Crossman. My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I, that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne salvation to bestow, but men made strange, and none the longed for Christ would know. But oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Sometimes they strew his way, and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their king. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry. They rise and needs will have my dear Lord made away. A murderer they save, the prince of life they slay, yet cheerful he to suffering goes, that he is foes, might thence, might free, from thence might free. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine, never was love, dear king, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days would gladly spend. Amen and amen.